Pentecost Sunday, by the power of your Holy Spirit, move through us and open us up to your word. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, it's exciting to hear my sermon from other people. In a sense, it's sort of a confirmation. Maybe the Spirit was speaking to all of us. This is not part of the sermon, but as always, these side trips are free. When Jesus said to the disciples, this is not what I'm going to preach on, that anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. I remember as a child thinking, oh, wow, that's nice. There's a story of a young Catholic boy who had heard that, and he desperately wanted a bicycle. Desperately wanted a bicycle. And so his mother said, well, honey, pray for a bicycle. And so he prayed, and his birthday came. No bicycle. So he told his mom, you know, I prayed. And she said, well, you know, you're supposed to pray without ceasing. So he went back and was praying and praying and praying. And Christmas came and there was no bicycle. So getting desperate, he went down to the church and went in. There was no one there. So he took a blanket and threw it over the statue of the Virgin Mary. Picked it up, took it home, put her in the closet, and then knelt by his bed and said, dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again. Answers those prayers.
And how did that turn out for you?
Not well. It turned with me in your Bibles. To John 14, beginning with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. At 10:35 a.m. on December 17th, 1903, all you history scholars, you're going to be on this. Two young brothers from Ohio used a 12-horsepower engine to launch their muslin-covered biplane off a ramp and into history. It was the first powered flight of a heavier-than-air craft, and with Orville at the controls, he traveled 120 feet in 12 seconds. That's not very fast. And in fact, if you look at the photograph that was taken of the flight from a life-saving station not too far away, you can see his brother Wilbur running beside the plane. A lot of people can run 120 feet in 12 seconds. But those 12 seconds were a game changer in the history of the world. They didn't know it at the time. But it would change the world and the way we travel. And the world would get much smaller. Later that day, on their third flight, Wilbur would cover 852 feet in 59 seconds. Still not setting the world on fire. But it was a game changer. And if I ask you all about historical game changers, if we sat here, we could brainstorm, we could think of a lot of them. By the invention of gunpowder, the discovery of penicillin, the computer age, the information age, the age of increased frustration, the ability to pull nitrogen from the air and make fertilizer, and feed millions. Game changers. And they're game changers throughout Scripture. And I want to share some with you. And the dates that I'm using are best guess from historians, but they're probably fairly accurate. And it's interesting, this year we almost line up with this. Sunday, April the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 33. They found the tomb of Jesus empty that morning. That was a game changer. That had never happened before to anyone. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and because he lived, we live. We will live. Now, 40 days after that, on Thursday, May the 15th, in the year of our Lord, 33, Jesus ascended to heaven. If you were here last week, you heard a great sermon from Father Chris about why Jesus had to leave. And he mentioned John 16:7, where Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." Hey, Jesus as a human being, as all human beings, we can only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit could be with me in my study writing a sermon, and apparently with you all as you're getting ready for worship today. The Holy Spirit can be with Christians in China and Christians in South Africa, Christians in Brazil, Christians everywhere, because the Spirit is Spirit. Now, 50 days after they found the tomb empty, on Sunday, May the 25th, in the year of our Lord, 33, the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost. And that was a game changer. Pentecost Sunday, on the church calendar, I'm not talking about it in America, I'm talking about it on the church calendar. Pentecost is second only to Easter in its importance. It was a game changer. When Christians think of the great holidays, we think of Christmas and Easter, and when everybody comes to church. But it's Easter and Pentecost. And it was a game changer for the apostles. The Holy Spirit descended as tongues of fire, which you just heard that story. And the promises of Jesus regarding the Holy Spirit were suddenly fulfilled. And it's an obvious example from second chapter of Acts is Peter. Peter, the man who had run away into the darkness in Gethsemane, the man who that very night denied knowing Jesus 3 times, is now emboldened and empowered to stand in front of thousands and preach the gospel. Think about that. 53 days earlier, he denied Jesus. What happened to change him that dramatically? It was the coming of the Holy Spirit, emboldened, empowered. The Holy Spirit is a game changer in the life of Peter, but also for all of the apostles and the followers of Jesus who were there. A game changer. But not just for them, it was a game changer for the whole church, as within a couple of centuries, the church had spread out into all the known world. It became a game changer for the world. And Jesus promised that he would not leave them as orphans, nor would he leave us as orphans. He promised that the Father would send the Holy Spirit, who would not only be with them, but would be in them. And by the way, if you read further in this chapter of John, Jesus talks about he and the Father being one and how they're going to come and make their home in you. It's really crowded in there. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are there. And you think, oh, God's transcendent and far away. Right here, within you. Be with you, be within you. And he's the advocate. He's the Spirit of truth. Now, the word in the text, the Greek word parakletos, I know y'all heard this. We kind of transliterate and say paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. Not parakeet. Paraclete. And the paraclete is a comforter or a counselor, an advocate, a helper. And it's only used five times in the New Testament, and it's interesting that all five of them are at the hand of John. Four in the Gospel, one in the Epistle, 1 John. He's the advocate. He's the helper. In classical Greek, the paraclete is like the family lawyer. He's the guy that's going to be there for you, walk along beside you, especially when you're in trouble. He's going to speak for you. He's going to tell you what to do, what to say. No one wants to go into a court without a lawyer. And no one should want to walk through life without the paraclete. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he lives with you and he lives in you. And one of the things that we do need to say, Father Bill has already said it today, the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force, some impersonal energy that's out there somewhere. It's not like in Star Wars. May the Force be with you. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit four times in one verse using the pronoun him. Him. Not it. Him. Is a person of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As for next week, be sure to come back for Holy Trinity, which is next Sunday, when Father Bill will explain that to us. Kind of. But suffice it to say right now, the Holy Spirit is God in you, with you. All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have that gift within us. Now, in another life, 1989, I was serving as the pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Rincon, Georgia, right outside of Savannah. And that congregation was blessed in that we had a Roman Catholic mission that came to town, and they used our facilities free of charge. Because their priest couldn't come till 1 o'clock, we were gone. They would come in and have their mass and other programs. And occasionally when we could, congregations did things together. It was really great. Got to be good friends with Father Smith and Sister Joseph Marie. But they had one day confirmation for five young people in the church. And so the most Reverend Raymond Lessard, the bishop of the Savannah Diocese, came to the church. Delightful man. This congregation that was meeting, that St. Boniface meeting with us, he wanted me to be in the service. And just by virtue of having that congregation there, I got to do all kinds of things. I go to Atlanta and meet the Archbishop, and got a free lunch out of that. met a lot of interesting people. But that day for their confirmation, and those of you who've been confirmed in a liturgical church, you know that you have the bishop is there, and Bishop Lessard had on, I think, every article of clothing that he owned. He had on a cope, and under that, I think he had the chasuble, and then he had the alb, and I don't know, maybe it's like he had gym shorts on under that. I don't know. But anyway, he was wearing everything. He had the mitre on. He had his crozier in his hand, and he stood up to do his sermon. And then he turned to those five kids, and he picked one of the boys at random and had him come up. And that boy looked like a deer looking into headlights of a car. And his face was ashen, and he came up there, and the bishop put his arm around him. He's not a scary-looking person. He's just the sweetest human being you'd ever meet. And he looked at the little boy, and he said, "What was the gift conferred to you in your baptism?" Silence. And panic. You can just see it in his face. I'm surprised he didn't burst into tears. And so the bishop starts giving him hints. The initials are HS. And he just like, oh. And the other kids are mouthing it. And he's still not getting it. And it wasn't until the bishop leaned over and whispered in his ear, "Holy Spirit." So we all heard it. And then the little boy, "Holy Spirit." And I'm sure he tells that story quite differently to this day. But the time, I hope he's still in the church and didn't feel like he was picked on. But the gift that we are given at baptism is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And from that Holy Spirit, we receive the gifts of the Spirit, which are exercised freely here. I also want to say something to you that in getting ready to preach this week, I was thinking, you know, preaching about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost to a room full of charismatics is like preaching to fish about water. You know it. You live in it. You walk in it. You breathe it. You live and walk in the Spirit. I pray that that's true. So I know that I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But here's what I want you to remember most about what you know. The Holy Spirit has come and is a game changer in your life. The Holy Spirit has come and empowers you, empowers me to live the life that Jesus Christ lived, to do the things that Jesus did, to love the things that Jesus loved. And we do the things that Jesus did for the same reason, and we love for the same reason. As our bishop, Bishop Jones, has said to us many times when he's been here, what does God expect from us? What does God expect? Jesus. That's the expectation. Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers and enables us to live and walk with him. But Pentecost was a game changer for the apostles and for the church, still is, and for the world, still is. And it's a game changer for you and for me. And today, on this Pentecost Sunday, becomes a game changer for Eleanor Rose. And Eleanor, I had when you were going to be baptized at the Easter Vigil, I preached then too. And I had a whiz-bang ending for the sermon, which I didn't get to use because you couldn't be there that day. So I'm sorry, this one's not as whiz-bang. Yeah, I think I'm preaching something about how the resurrection forced us to have paradigm shifts in our hearts and in our minds into how we view the world, and that you were going to be baptized into that new paradigm. Yeah. Yes, I was going to really say that. And today, you know, there's no bishop here to scare you about this. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are going to come and live in you and with you. And it's a game changer. I know it's early in your life. There are going to be a lot of game-changing moments in your life. But this one is the most important game changer because it determines the path that you'll walk. With the help of your parents and with the help of the congregation and with the help of all the brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll be there to help you walk that path. And you'll hear us promise that here in a little bit. Yeah, really. They will. We will. So, it is a game changer.
You think she's
pretty strong enough? Yeah. I was telling somebody earlier, I love it when babies cry at a baptism because it makes it seem more dramatic. We can't see the movement of the Spirit, but it's kind of like, oh, there it went. Yeah. So let me be the first to say, welcome to the body of Christ. Amen. We love you, and we'll walk the walk with you. Amen. Amen.